When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
All right, welcome into the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 Houston, where we head over to the Progressive guest line and welcome in one of the brightest young talents in the game right now. He was a national champion at Texas in 2021 and just 14 starts into his professional career. He's a two-time winner on the Korn Ferry Tour, most recently last week in Panama. His name is Pearson Cootey. Pearson, thanks for spending a little time to hang out with me and Charlie today.
Of course. Thank you all for having me.
Well, Pearson, you're down in Colombia, and, you know, are you in Bogota?
Yes. Yeah, we're in Bogota this week.
Is the altitude doing
crazy, crazy elevation?
Yeah, altitude really mess you up?
It should. It's two golf courses, and, yeah, 8,700 feet is crazy. The most elevation I've played at was in Colorado, and that was simple because it was just kind of a smooth 10%. But here the ball, the higher you hit it, the further it goes, and it kind of just plays tricks on you at times.
Well, how far is the farthest one you hit this week?
Oh, gosh. If the green was within 370 yards, you just hit driver. If it was flying 350, 360.
I played there many, many years ago, 1968, and I'm the vintage of your grandfather, the Masters champion. And I just want to congratulate you that in your short career, you've already made more money than your grandfather did in his career.
Oh, my gosh. When I called him after I won last week and we were talking, and he was obviously very happy for me and whatnot, and he just, what you just said just shocked how much money there is in professional golf now, and just happy for me that I'm finding my way.
Now your father was a good golfer also, and he played at Texas too. Is he amazed on how much money is available and how they're treating you college kids as you get close to tour age and you can get all this money with you know, just a flick of the pen?
Yeah, it's definitely something that we've talked about. And with NIL, my last year of college last year, and just sponsors, having great sponsors of TaylorMade, Nike, and Veritex, there's just a lot of support in professional golf, especially for the top college players coming out. Companies are eager to represent us. So it's been a very fortunate transition for me. And again, I just couldn't be happier with kind of the way things have gone. So ups and downs, but happy, you know, to at least be making money in professional golf.
One last question, then I'll turn it over to Will, but did you buy a new truck?
Oh my gosh. I drive my dad's old 2008 car. So I need to play a little bit better to sweet talk myself into getting a new car though.
Well, treat yourself. You're really done well, and congratulations on the national championship. And we're really going to look forward to you when you get on the big tour, but keep, you know, picking those Korn Ferry tour victories off.
Exactly. Yeah. Just head down now at this point.
Pearson, I commend you for taking an interview mid event. You know, you're in Colombia at the fourth event of the Korn Ferry Tour season. That can be, you know, a touchy thing for some players to do media in the middle of an event. Is that something that you're getting used to?
I would say so. The Korn Ferry has gotten a lot better about having people on site at every event, just always kind of following you and whatnot. And phone calls are always easy, especially supporting Texas radio and whatnot. I enjoy doing it. And I guess it's something that I'm not overly thinking about of, am I pulling my time too much one way or another? We have a lot of free time as professional golfers.
And I'm sure I don't know if you watch golf or not, but I'm sure you've heard about over the last 2 weeks that CBS is starting their initiative with on-course interviews. You know, they've mic'd up Homa and Mitchell over the last 2 weeks. As a player, do you think that'd be something you'd be inviting towards, or do you not want any distractions like that in the middle of play?
That's such an interesting point. That's a little more touchy because you're just kind of so focused in on what you're trying to do at that moment, and trying to get a mic on you mid round just for one hole. My first reaction is just, it seems a bit much, and I would prefer just to play really good golf and give an interview after I have a trophy or something like that.
No, I agree. I'm all for the player having full say in that. You know, as Rom said last week, you're not seeing Tom Brady deliver an interview in the middle of a game. And, you know, it's in the middle of competition, you got to stay focused. But let's get into your game and what life as a pro has been like. I know you're in Columbia right now, but looking back a year ago at this point in time, you were still at Texas en route to winning a national championship. Have you had time to digest what you've accomplished over the last year at just 23?
No, it's been absolutely crazy. I was just starting back from October in 2022 until this point, the last however many, 15 months maybe. It's been a crazy up and down. I've had, it's been well documented, the arm, broken arm last year, and then came back and played well, and the team won the national championship. And I kind of got my groove going, professional golf. And then as soon as that, my Corn Ferry season ended to having hand surgery, and then recover from that and then play golf for about a month, and then boom, right back in the Bahamas, starting the Corn Ferry again. So it's been a blur would be an understatement. It's been fun, but it's been up and down, and it's gone so fast.
Now that you've won twice, you're a tournament winner, are you flying first class?
No, I'm flying home tonight. I'm just happy to getting window seats.
Well, Pearson, looking at the injuries, you've been through two. When you're resting and rehabbing injuries, how tough is it for you as an athlete to just rest? Is that an easy thing for you to do?
No, it's your mind races, especially when you haven't had any type of success post injury. So after I had my surgery, I missed the first two cuts, and all I wanted to do was practice in Panama. And I played well, but I'm paying the price this week with some soreness and whatnot. And so I'm definitely trying to find a balance of how do I calm myself down, feel the same each week, and not overdo it because my body's still not quite healthy again. So it is a fine line, and it's tough trying to find, because you want to work so hard at what your sport, your craft, and just trying to find a happy medium right now.
But, you know, having a grandfather like you have, Charles Cootey, who's a fine gentleman, yeah, and a great golfer, what's a couple pieces of advice that he gave you and your brother as you went along?
Yeah, the main thing that always teaches me is that he wants us to play with just like our imagination, if that makes sense. Just always visualizing the golf shot and not becoming, if I get my right elbow here and release it this way, I'm going to hit the perfect draw or perfect fade. It's feel the shot, visualize the shot, and then go hit it again. And if you do that each time, you're kind of, you'll build a rhythm. You'll become a more complete player just because I don't know what the right word is. Just always using your imagination, not becoming more of a robotic type golfer.
You know, I helped a kid by the name of Ángel Cabrera, who also won the Masters. And I always told him that, you know, his best shots came when he was underneath the trees. And his answer to me was, he said, well, that's where I learned how to play. You know, shaping shots, hitting shots. So that's great advice from your grandfather. And you know, it's on the range, you know, everybody's trying to hit it straight, but That's good. I like that.
Yeah, it's been helpful.
You know, not to. I know it's documented, but I'm just curious. At the end of last season, I was looking back. Number one, I was looking back at your 2022. You really only took 2 weeks off over a span of 11 events coming out of Texas. Is that correct?
Yes. I remember 4th of July weekend. I couldn't even tell you what the second one was.
And when you were coming down the stretch of last season, you know, you're sitting 32 on KFT with 4 events left. Was the injury already bothering you before the KFT championship?
No. The
hamate bone?
It didn't hit me until the second Corn Ferry Finals event. So that would have been my 10th event out there. So during that regular season, I felt good. And I just unfortunately didn't have one of those. I had a really, really good chance to close the deal on a PGA Tour card in Utah, and I missed out by 2 shots and then just didn't have a good final week. And then finals, I didn't really have that much of a chance with the issue with my hand that flared up.
So was there any kind of decision at that second to last event, whether, you know, do we call it a season, or were you all in trying to, you know, finish strong while dealing with that soreness?
It was so all in. I couldn't really tell what was wrong other than I was having pretty bad numbness in my left hand. And it just kind of kept building, but you're playing Columbus and you know that if you have a top 10 and 1 of 3 events, you have a PGA Tour card. And that series is no longer available anymore, I guess. And so at the time I knew that was my last chance, or else I was going to have to play another whole year on the Corn Ferry. And I wanted to do it so bad that there wasn't any kind of slowdown, but the pain just built to where it wasn't really an option to play.
Well, do you still have the exemption if you win 3 Corn Ferry Tour tournaments that you get a promotion?
Yes, yeah, but that's in the same calendar year, so I'm only on 1 of 3 right now.
You do that. You'll be there.
It's onward. It's onward and upward. Pearson, in your first win in Maine, you opened 67, 62, 66, which was a much different start than you had in your second win last week. You entered the final round tied 24th. How is your approach different going into that final round, contrary to the first time in Maine?
Yeah, both final rounds were so unique and so different. In Maine, I was 7 under through 8, and I got to the 9th tee and saw that I had an 8-shot lead with 10 to go. So the mindset, I had started off so well and so fast, and it just, that was the fastest 8-hole of golf I've ever experienced in my life, probably a snap of the fingers, and everything was going my way. And so then coming in, it's just kind of like slowing myself down, hitting the conservative shots to aggressive targets and whatnot, all that kind of stuff. But last week in Panama, it was different because I kept knowing, I started the day at 1 over, and I knew that if I got to 4 under where the leader started, it'd be a little windier for them. I was off about 2.5 hours before the final group, and I knew how fast and firm the course was going to get. And I started off super hot. I knew I needed to just have a chance, and I made a really costly bogey on my 10th hole. And again, the mindset, just kind of getting myself back into like, need to get the ball to 20 feet and each putt kind of needs to get to the hole. We just need to play the odds game of, and luckily I made 2 of those 20 footers for birdie coming in. I missed an 8 footer for birdie on my last hole that would have got me to 4 under for the tournament. But luckily, it got me into the playoff. I was still very happy with the round. That was my first made cut of the season after the surgery. So there were still so many positives. And just getting into the playoff, I think I was just so happy. I wasn't really nervous at all. It's just kind of, I was ecstatic just to have a chance to win again. And luckily, things went my way in the playoff.
And, you know, you got a little emotional after the win last week. You were talking about how important it was, you know, to see that your golf game was still good enough. Deep down, where do you feel that emotion came from? Were you thinking about all the days grinding through the injury? Were you thinking about the freedom this gives you for the rest of the season? Or was this just a sheer joyful emotional celebration?
I think it's all of the above. It was, it's just hard when you have surgery, and my surgery is so minor compared to some of the major injuries guys have gone through. And, but it's still, when it's still difficult at times. And I was sitting on my couch post surgery, and tournament directors for fall events on the PGA Tour were calling to see if I'd play. And I had to turn down several tour starts, and the road back was really hard because I could have squared the club face for about 2 or 3 weeks of chunking it. It's a really difficult experience. You know your game's going to come back, but you just don't know how fast. And as soon as they both missed their putt from about 20 feet, my 6-inch putt, I was trying not to tear up. I was trying to wipe my eyes and just knock it in because the emotions came rushing out.
That's incredible. I mean, you know that mental emotions can wear you out just like a big workout can wear out your body. When you win and you feel those emotions on the 18th green, do you kind of wake up the next morning and go, did that actually happen? Is there some time for reflection, or by Monday, were you focusing on Columbia?
I wish I could say that I was focused on Columbia, and I was trying to with two golf courses and whatnot, but the win was just such an incredible feeling that I might have lingered a little bit too much. I didn't celebrate or anything. I had a 5 a.m. flight the next morning to get here, so there was no time to celebrate. I at this point, I'm just happy to get home and see my family and celebrate with them. Because it is a huge win, and now that we have a 6-week break, I really think I'll be able to get my game in shape and chase down that top spot at the end of the year for the Korn Ferry.
Get that body nice and rested up as well. A couple more for you, Pearson. You were battling it down the stretch with Mac Meisner, who is a product of the PGA Tour U standings as well. You're a former number one ranked player in those standings. It's just been fantastic in allowing college players to be rewarded for great amateur careers. What would you, and former teammate Cole Hammer's been a product of that, Davis Thompson, you guys have really ran with those exemptions. What would you tell an up and coming college player about the importance of giving your full effort in every college event with the idea that there is now this real attainable PGA Tour status on the line?
Yeah, I think that PGA Tour U almost gives you the feel of professional golf because you know how much every shot, you feel how much every shot matters now. It's, I remember when the system was implemented and I made some birdies on my junior year. I made some really good final rounds and vaulted at the leaderboard. And then at the end of my junior year, I was the number one ranked player. And I remember, I can still look back and remember, like, I knew that those putts were for just for more. They were to come give me an opportunity like this to be on the Korn Ferry when I graduated college. And I would tell a young player going to college or start about to be eligible for PGA Tour U that you're going to get a taste of a little bit of what professional golf is, of every shot matters. And it's redundant. Your college coach will tell you that. But it truly does matter because it is PGA Tour U coming straight to the Korn Ferry, or even just going straight to Canada and not having to do any Q school is it's a huge advantage. It's a huge financial burden lifted, and it allows you to kickstart your pro career in a positive way.
Well said, Pearson. Hey, let's finish it up here with a Super Bowl pick: Chiefs, Eagles, Mahomes versus Hurts. Who's your pick?
Oh gosh, I would prefer Kansas City to win, but the Eagles look so good that I think it's going to be tough for Kansas City to pull it out. I think the Eagles will get it done.
I got to go with the Eagles too, because here's my thing. I'm a huge Brady fan, and Mahomes is now a two-time MVP and has been to the last 5 AFC championships. I can't have him catching up to Brady this early in his career. Charlie, who do you have?
Kansas City. I mean, Mahomes, he's the best. I mean, he can throw it through their legs and have a score and throw a touchdown. So, but it's been a great interview, and I'm going to follow you a lot over the next probably, I don't know how much time I got left on this earth, but
Pearson, 25 years, Charlie.
Congratulations on a great high school collegiate career. And you made all of the Texans very proud when you won your national championship. So keep up the good work, and good luck, my friend.
Thank you. No, I really appreciate it.
Great to pick your mind and get your insight about your play and life inside the ropes. As always, Pearson, congratulations on the win and keep up the good work. Safe travels, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.